All right, about to go around the NFL. Let's, question of the day. I do appreciate this, and I wanted to put this in. This is one of those I'm right, everybody else is wrong takes that comes in on the YouTube page. RC Cola is better than Coke and Pepsi. Fight me. I don't remember the last time my lips touched some RC Cola. So I can't even
been
I
a
can't
while. Weigh in. It used to be strong, though, man.
I used to like Fanta.
Oh, yeah.
A little flavored.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Do some Fanta.
No, Fanta is strong, man. Yeah. They still going strong.
Especially if you get it in the glass bottle. Yeah. With that pure cane sugar.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're in a good space. Let's get to some football just to check in on what's happening out there at the Houston Methodist Training Center. A name that continues to pop up over and over and over again. John Mechie.
Hmm. What to do?
He is really trying to make this.
He's making people jobs tough.
Well, that's the idea. I mean, that's when they say it's a competition. Sometimes it really is. And sometimes, you know, you do have to, you know, there are guys that sort of make a statement in the preseason.
Yeah. Good thing is that the offense is finding a little bit of their groove here lately, but it's been an up and down day. And it seems like, according to Texans Cap, shout out to the man, Schultz was getting in Morig's face after a big hit on Hutchinson.
Go figure.
Hey.
Dalton Schultz.
He is number one on the might actually start the brawl at the joint practice.
He's the thug on the team.
No, wow.
He's the guy.
He's the thug.
He's the guy that in your group that says, do you hear what he just said to you? Did you hear what he just said?
You think he's an instigator? I don't think he's that kind of instigator. I don't think he's, bet you gonna hit him, though. I don't think he's that guy. Nah. I think he's just the guy that's like, I will go and I will start it if I need to.
Mm-hmm. Nah, he's the guy that, get off of me. Get off of me, bro.
Yeah. Or the guy that you kind of accidentally bump into at the club. And
you want to go?
Yeah.
You want to go outside? Yeah. You want to go?
Step on the shoe by mistake. Yeah. Oh, sorry about that. Get off of me, bro.
He seemed very nice and introspective when we've had the opportunity to talk to him.
Yeah.
Yes.
These are caricatures.
Yes.
Let's go around the NFL now. And I mentioned the NFL has kind of racked up a couple of L's that are interesting legally. We mentioned John Gruden earlier in the week. He was granted an opportunity to continue his lawsuit versus the NFL for wrongful termination. And he'll have the opportunity to have discovery. So the number of emails that have happened in the NFL outside of just the probably handful that were released that obviously led to John Gruden no longer being the head coach with the Raiders. You imagine that there's going to be some real digging into some NFL emails that could be really problematic. Now, there's another lawsuit that the NFL was operating with against a former NFL head coach, now defense coordinator Brian Flores of the Vikings. His lawsuit that he had against the NFL and three of the teams, including the Miami Dolphins, who he was coaching for at that time, and I believe the New York Giants, and don't forget, the Houston Texans.
They interviewed him.
Right? Though a Manhattan judge in a court of appeals there ruled that Flores can proceed with his claims against the league. So this will also continue to go. The NFL obviously was hoping that wouldn't be the case and they could kind of tamp this down. This is kind of wild. The NFL is losing on multiple fronts in this, and I don't know how much this will hurt them existentially, but I know that they're not happy about it.
Well, they've got plenty of good lawyers, so we'll see how this particular case,
not good enough to kill these yet,
plays out. This is true. But what I'm interested in is just the fact that it's this case. We've kind of spoken for years now about, well, you know, the Rooney Rule, that guy's a Rooney Rule guy, this guy's a Rooney Rule guy. Nobody ever really, you know, follows up with it legally until Brian Flores. And I'm interested to see just the effect of the lawsuit by itself, you know?
That's a great point, because I'm obviously just talking about it from the NFL's perspective of this. But, and Brian Flores, remember this, I think this started gaining some traction as like a class action, if memory serves, where he was trying to get other coaches.
That's right, it was
on board with this. And clearly this is not the type of action you take just to get some money or what have you. I mean, he's still coaching in the league right now. This is one of those where you believe yourself to be trying to make a difference and a change. And I do wonder like what tangibly can be brought from this kind of thing. And of course, the idea that the NFL was trying to do was trying to force this into arbitration, right? Mm-hmm. This is trying to say that this was under the jurisprudence of, well, we'll handle this with an arbitrator where we can kind of control the permutations. No, this is going to court, big court. These conversations will be had publicly, and it'll be had in a space where, I mean, societally, we're never really good when we start talking about race.
Yeah.
So that is going to be very interesting. But you're right. Like, seeing how
just,
this is handled.
Just the fact that it's happening.
Yes. You know. Seeing how this handled. And honestly, if Brian Flores wins, and my brain is not expansive enough to get to the idea of what does it look like? Like, mm-hmm. what are the changes that ultimately can be put into effect for the NFL to make hiring practices more equitable or whatever, what have you, of what I imagine Brian Flores is looking for here.
Well, and you talked about discovery yesterday. Ooh, baby. The discovery on this one, if there's any semblance of, well, I got to interview this guy. Ooh, man. Oh, boy, that's going to get interesting. Because, I mean, we've all kind of like felt that, like, oh, well, they're going to hire so-and-so, but they have to interview this guy.
Right.
We've all felt that. And if there's any discovery where in which there's some text, some email, some, well, let's hold off on that because I need to interview this guy. Then we're talking about a hornet's nest.
Yeah. But the reason why I brought up the idea of I'm interested in what actionable can
right,
be done
right.
is I think that the NFL itself has been invested in more diverse hiring. You can kind of evidence that by looking at who actually works in the league offices, and it's a fairly diverse group of people. The tough part about it is it's owner's discretion, mm-hmm. right? When you talk about hiring, and you can put different kind of rules to help them and, you know, look at and consider more people and hope that when you put more talented people in front of them, that maybe they will make decisions that end up ultimately looking more,
yeah.
I don't know what the right word is, diverse, equitable, so on and so forth. But ultimately, they're still, as the owner of the team, they're going to make that decision.
It's their call.
And I don't know how you forcibly change mm-hmm. the hearts and minds of the people who are ultimately making those decisions if they are not actually going to consider these things, right? So I think that's the thing that I've racked my brain over every time these conversations come up.
And you should.
And I don't know how you actually get those.
It's 32 individuals or 31. 31 individuals, and you know, it's up to them to make that call.
So, speaking of those individuals, one of them loves showing his ass to get attention, and I think you know which one I'm talking about.
Who's that?
Gerald Wayne Jones, who owns the Dallas Cowboys. Earlier this week, out there in California, they had a red carpet event for the Netflix documentary that's, I think it's like a 10-part series, which thanks a lot, Michael Jordan. Everybody has to have a 10-part documentary. It makes me so mad.
Could have done it in two.
I hate it so much. On the 90s Cowboys and that dynasty, the last time the Cowboys were effectively good on a large scale. And on the red carpet, as Jerry does talk, and you have this quote here, don't you, Fig? This was Jerry Jones talking about, I mean, well, just the way that he comports himself and handles his business when it comes to the drama of it all.
Well, I do believe if we're not being looked at, then I'll do my part to get us looked at. The beautiful thing for networks streaming companies is that the NFL is a 365-day-a-year interest factor. A lot of programming, you have to spend as much to make it, to promote it, as you do to make it. The Cowboys are a soap opera 365 days.
The screening will begin
when it gets slow. I'll start.
Please take your seats.
And so it is, it's wonderful to have the great athletes, have the great players. But there's something more there. There's sizzle, there's emotion. And if you will, there's controversy. That controversy is good stuff in terms of keeping and having people's attention.
This man is hamstringing his team so that he can keep the drama alive, ain't he?
Don't be late, by the way. It's time to take your seat.
He's blasting that Destiny Child, too. Jalen Green probably like, who is this?
And I saw someone say, he said the quiet part out loud. No, he said the loud part out loud. He always does this stuff.
That's the thing. That quote of, and if it's, you know, I'll stir it up or whatever.
Yeah.
He's made that exact quote a number of times. The thing about that gets me is he has progressively gotten, like, it's gotten bigger and bigger.
More brazen.
Like, yeah. this is what, like, the fourth or fifth time mm-hmm. in the last decade that he's taken to task in negotiation his best player for seemingly no good reason, and if you were to extrapolate it, maybe just to have the Cowboys in the news. Dog, this can't, like, this doesn't help you.
Yeah.
This ultimately, you know what gets you in the news? Winning football games, dog. Like, being a good football team keeps people's attention on you. It is the stupidest thing in the world.
But when you're not winning, and you are disappointing, I'm totally get it because they are the Dallas Cowboys.
But the problem is,
they need to win, and that'll do it easier.
But you also hurt your ability to win by doing this.
That's
like
true.
legitimately losing all of these negotiations with these players because he's ultimately going to pay them. He's done it every single time.
Yeah.
When you ultimately pay the players, you are hurting your ability to actually get things done. And not only do they do that, right? Because this is the funny subsection of it. Mm-hmm. We mentioned this when Jake Ferguson got paid, and I don't think that one will hurt them, is they end up paying other dudes to try and entice the player.
Yeah.
I hearken back to 2019 when Ezekiel Elliott was in this situation. They paid a linebacker named Jalen Smith, who had had an injury in the bowl game in Notre Dame and clearly was not the same player as a pro. They gave that guy an extension, a costly extension that you probably would not have wanted to pay that player, but you did that, giving out money to, entice Ezekiel Elliott to get out of his holdout. They did the same thing to the tight end this year in order to try and, I'm like, this is all so stupid. It just operates so stupid, which gives me such pride in the Houston Texans. And you are not doing anything of that caliber.
No, they're not. But yeah, look, he really can't win in this case, because when he's talking, it is affecting him, like you said, affecting the product on the field, relationships, etc. But people also realize that him talking has now just become, it's almost become clownish.
Oh yeah.
You know?
100%.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's where they are. So laugh at the clown, I guess, in that instance, as he continues to stir stuff up. Do you believe this at all? Roger Goodell, who is the commissioner of the NFL, apparently in a report told ESPN employees who they're now in bed with, obviously with ESPN having, or with the NFL, no, ESPN having a 10% ownership stake. No, other way, NFL having a 10% ownership stake of ESPN. There we go. He told ESPN employees that the NFL will not get involved in journalism, saying the report said, quote, Goodell emphasized that ESPN employees that the league won't get involved in the network's journalism, close quote. Journalism man. Believe it? Very good. I will take that as the entirety of your answer, which was a very slight chuckle.
That was a chuckle. Come on, man. Teams that don't have interest. The NFL, when they don't have interest, have gotten involved in journalism at other places and made threats and tried to angle and leverage, et cetera. Of course they are. Of course they are.
Yeah. I think the daily reporting is not going to be where it is.
Sure.
I think it's when you get to the heavy stuff.
The big stuff.
Do they lean?
Yeah.
Do they lean? Do they create the hierarchy that happens and has happened, to be honest, like for a long time.
Yeah.
And I don't even talk about it in the sports sense.
Yeah.
Where you have an owner who is invested in some level of interest outside of the newspaper that they own.
Yeah.
And they tell their editor-in-chief, hey, not really fond of this. And then you get a level of hierarchy all the way down the ladder, leaning on and pressuring on to the point where either the story doesn't run or a story ends up being kind of changed in its tone and tenor in order to appease. Like, I think that it's inherent with that conflict.
The leaning interest and the pressuring is exactly what it's going to be. Some editor, some program director is going to say, hey, I'm not going to tell you what to do in this instance, but blah, 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 blah. So that's the pressure. And all of a sudden, you're affecting the journalism.
Yeah. Real quick, top 100. As voted by players.
The latest
ones who have come out. Arizona Cardinals safety at 34. Buda Baker, he's had a huge jump. Buda Baker is really interesting because he's starting to get to a point where I think people are looking at him as maybe being a lesser version of himself. And he had not made a Pro Bowl in the 6 prior seasons. He's jumped up 55 spots in this one.
Oh, wow.
Like, Buda looks like that dude again, where early on in his career, you were like, oh, this dude could be a transformational type safety.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I thought that was really cool. And then at 33, running back for the Green Bay Packers, Josh Jacobs.
I'm a big fan of that guy. Was that a drop?
No. He actually did not. I don't think he made the ranking last year, so this is a huge jump for him.
Yeah, and the reason I asked was it a drop, because remember, he started kind of slow last year, right? I want to say like his first 4 or 5 games, people were like, oh, okay, and then he came on again.
I mean, 15 touchdowns, 1,300 yards on the season. He had a good one all the way around, so that's what's happening with the top 100. Look at you finding your confidence
little
to
bit.
Have some takes and some
little
thoughts
bit.
On the top 100 as we give you a little bit. And someone said, journalism has been dead for years. Lopez, care to comment?
I'm not going to disagree too much.
Okay, very good. All right, you're in the
little
loop.
Not too much.
That's around the NFL, and I want to remind you the Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. All right, coming up next, I do want to talk about the Texans. I tried to bring up this conversation, but there was a podcast I was listening to yesterday that brought it back up to me. We've talked a lot about the possibilities of progression, of progress for this team, where that could happen. We haven't talked a lot about what are the possible points of regression on this team. Not that I think that will happen, but let's talk about the possibilities next.